This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the September 28 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. I'm Natalie Pynchon, and I will be reading synopses of articles on oncology published by JNS Spine today. Single fraction stereotactic body radiotherapy for spinal metastases from renal cell carcinoma. A clinical article by Eshan Balagumwala and colleagues. Radiosurgery of the spine has emerged as an important treatment option for patients with spinal metastases. It has become the primary treatment modality at many centers. The authors reviewed their institutional experience at the Cleveland Clinic in treating spinal metastases from renal cell carcinoma. They identified factors associated with treatment failure. This study included 57 patients who underwent 88 treatments, which represents one of the largest published series of patients. The authors found that median time to radiographic or pain progression was longer than 26 months. The median time to pain relief was 0.9 months. Multivariate analysis demonstrated that multilevel disease and neural foramen involvement were correlated with increased risk for radiographic failure. The authors also found that multilevel disease and pre-existing vertebral body fracture were correlated with increased risk for pain progression. One patient experienced grade 3 nausea and vomiting. No other grade 3 or 4 toxicities were observed. The authors demonstrate that radiosurgery for spinal metastases from renal cell carcinoma offers fast and durable pain relief with minimal toxicity. Radiosurgery of the spine seems optimal for patients who have solitary or few spinal metastases, and patients with neural foramen involvement are at an increased risk for failure. Tumors at the lateral portion of the C1 to 2 interlaminar space, compressing the spinal cord by rotation of the atlantoaxial joint. New aspects of spinal cord compression. A report of two cases by Hiroshi Ozawa and co-authors. The authors report two cases in which C2 nerve root tumors were located at the bilateral lateral portion of the C1 to 2 interlaminar space and were found to compress the spinal cord upon rotation of the atlantoaxial joint. The patients were adult men with neurofibromatosis. Both patients presented with clumsiness of both hands and motor weakness of the extremities, accompanied by spastic gait. Magnetic resonance imaging of the cervical spine, with the patient's neck in the neutral position, revealed tumors bilaterally at the lateral portions of the C1 to 2 interlaminar space without direct compression of the spinal cord. The spinal cord exhibited an eye-shaped deformity in one patient and a trapezoidal deformity in the other, both at the same level as the tumors. CT myelography and MR imaging on rotation of the cervical spine revealed intracranial protrusion of the tumors compressing the spinal cord from the lateral side. The patients were successfully treated by excision of the tumors combined with occipitocervical fusion. The tumors were pushed out into the spinal canal from the bilateral lateral portion of the interlaminar spaces when the atlantoaxial joint rotated. Without sustained spinal cord compression, intermittent long-term dynamic spinal cord compression from lateral sides should induce a pathognomonic deformity of the spinal cord and cause the onset of paralysis. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group.